Okay, right. Welcome everybody to the Finance and Good Governance Committee meeting of Melbourne Parish Council, held at 7:30 on Monday, the 22nd of June, 2020. So it's a new civic year. So we start the agenda item numbering with FG. Good evening, Sally Ann. We're just starting. So, first agenda item is FG001/20 to receive nominations and elect the chair of the Finance and Good Governance Committee, as was agreed in the Parish Council meeting last Monday. So, do we have any nominations for chair of this committee, Councillor Kilmurray?
Assuming you don't say no fast enough, I nominate you.
That's absolutely fine, thank you.
My second.
Councillor Clark?
My second.
Okay, and do we have any other people wishing to chair the meeting for the next year? No. Okay, so the proposal and which was seconded is that I be chair of the Finance and Governance Committee. All those in favour, please. That is unanimous, thank you. And a mug of tea from Councillor Hart. Next agenda item, FG002/20 to receive nominations and elect the vice chair of the Finance and Good Governance Committee. Can I have nominations, please?
Does anyone want to do it?
Can't remember who it was. That's awful, isn't it? It was Councillor Clark, wasn't it? Graham, would you be willing to stand again?
No, I was going to say I was going to nominate someone.
Oh, go on then.
I was going to nominate Councillor Kilmurray. That's no. I was going to
No,
nominate
thank you.
Councillor Hart. Councillor Barnes. If nobody else wants to do it, I'm happy to stay in. If someone wants to.
Are you nominating yourself, Councillor Clark?
No. If no one wants to stay in,
No.
And Councillor Hart is waving her
Councillor
hand.
Hart is waving her hand.
I'd quite like to nominate Councillor Clark. I just
I.
raise as a point of order that as chair of the parish
Yeah.
council, it would probably be preferable if Councillor Clark wasn't standing in as chair as of F&G as well.
I
C
second.
c c certainly, this is why we this is certainly this is why we don't have Councillor Clark as chair of this
Yes.
committee.
But yeah, there's nobody else.
No.
Councillor Hart.
And I do apologise. My memory is just gone today. So who is the existing vice chair?
It's Councillor Clark.
No, it was Councillor Wilson, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? I thought it was Graham.
Councillor Wilson is or was my vice on planning.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon, Steve.
I think it might have been.
Was it me?
Yes,
Well, it
it
was Councillor Kilmurray. You were vice chair of Finance and Good Governance.
Oh dear.
You did a really good job.
Yeah.
Councillor Hart, you wish to speak.
I'm just mindful that I don't think Councillor Cowley has ever not been able to chair Finance and Good Governance.
Not thus far, that's correct.
However, I'm not prepared to risk on purpose and put myself forward as vice chair, but I'm just bearing that in mind, Councillor Kilmurray might be willing to stand again as vice chair of Finance and Good Governance.
Yes, I suppose so.
Excellent. That sounds like a nomination from Councillor Hart and Councillor Clark. Is that seconded?
Very quickly.
Lovely. All those in favour of Councillor Kilmurray, who is allowed to vote against himself, of course. All those in favour of Councillor Kilmurray? That's four. Any against? And any abstentions?
Yeah.
Councillor Kilmurray abstaining. That is.
I don't feel right voting for myself.
I did once vote against myself in a college election and lost.
So you got elected.
No. I voted for the other guy and he won. Right, moving on to
Claire,
agenda item.
this is
Oh yes, Claire, Assistant Clerk.
Claire, could I just note as well, because we should be signing declarations of acceptance of office tonight, which obviously we can't do. So I'm just going to record in the minutes, but we'll do that.
If I hold up a ceremonial pen,
well, I'm quite happy to drop it round to your house, or we can just wait until we can meet, you know,
yeah. Sign with
I should have the day off work on Thursday, so I should be able to pop in if someone's in the office on Thursday.
Yeah.
I have a good supply of surgical masks I can wear as well.
Fair enough.
Okay, thank you. Next gender item, FG003/20, to receive any declarations of interest and dispensations. Assistant Clerk, have we received any declarations?
No, I haven't received any.
Thank you. And do councillors wish to make any declarations now? Nope. Lovely. Moving on. FG004/20. Oh, hang on. That is a repeat of the declarations of interest. Got a slight misnumbering.
Numbering's a repeat.
Yeah, that's fine. So FG004/20 is struck from the agenda. FG005/20, public participation. Assistant Clerk, do we have any members of the public on the meeting with us?
No, nobody's joined and nobody's sent any comments.
Thank you very much. In that case, we'll move on to FG006/20 to approve the minutes of the Finance and Good Governance Committee meeting held on the 16th of March this year. They were redacted for the purpose of the discussion that we had about the potential impact on the hub. Did anyone have any comments or notes other than that?
I received a comment from a member of the public who just commented that Joyce Hales addressed the meeting just before we stopped recording, and I hadn't noted him as being in attendance, so I've added him as being in attendance as a director of the hub.
Lovely. Thank you, Claire. I can see that at the top of the minutes there. So can I have a proposer to approve the minutes? That's Councillor Clark and a seconder. Councillor Hart, all those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. And agenda FG007/20 to report back on said minutes. Assistant Clerk, do we have any reports?
There are a few things to report. The fixed asset list, there was an action for it to go to maintenance committee. It hasn't yet gone to maintenance. It will. It's going to go on the next agenda. And they're going to go... The action was for them to go through to look for duplications. The RFO has looked into the possibility of using our existing Edge software to get unique identifiers for property, and I understand that that's not possible.
The software they have, apparently they're releasing a new update where we will be able to run a report from that.
Ooh.
So I think we might be able to use it.
Oh, okay.
But we still have to find that information first before we put it on the software, but it looks like it might be possible now.
Oh, lovely.
There was an action for the HR panel to prepare the organisational chart for the... Sorry, Councillor Hart.
Yes, I'm mindful that there are a number of outstanding actions for the HR panel. We have been meeting every Wednesday. Things seem to have superseded some of our actions, but we're meeting again this Wednesday and I will highlight them again. I may need to check in because my memory from that I don't want to call it lockdown because I'm choosing to stay at home. Nobody's locking me down. But that eve of when we all suddenly became working from home, things seem to have moved on at a pace. But yes, we are meeting this Wednesday again, HR panel, and those things will come back up the agenda. So I haven't forgotten them, but so I might need to just check in because my memory from that evening is a little bit hazy in terms of what I think we were requested to do. I realise it's to do with the transparency documentation. So we'll look at that again on Wednesday and we'll feedback. And I'm mindful there are some other actions for the HR panel, which I will again highlight on Wednesday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There were a number of actions that came out of item FG042/19, but they've been overtaken by events, really. With regard to the hub closing down, you know, being closed for the time being.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was all I can report back on.
Thank you very much. Next agenda item, FG008/20, discussion and consideration of potential financial impact of COVID-19. Now, I think the RFO, Gabby, did you put together this supporting document?
Yes.
Did you want to briefly explain any points, or is it largely self-explanatory?
It should be self-explanatory. The whole idea was that when we put our precept together back in, you know, November, December, the whole world looked quite different to how it looks now. And so it was really just to sort of bring to the council's attention the fact that our budget may well be impacted by what's going on. At the moment, it's a kind of an educated guessing game because nobody knows how long things are going to go on for and what the outcomes may be. But I've put in there some ideas of where things might get impacted in terms of our income and our expenditure, and then where we might get funds from if we need to do so. If anyone's got any questions, just ask.
Councillor Hart.
It's not really a question, but I just think it'd be really pertinent to actually just thank both the RFO and the Assistant Clerk for keeping everything afloat and being so on the ball with, you know, thinking ahead and where things will be. So just really to formally thank them both for all the hard work they're doing. And it feels great that, you know, I think bearing in mind the current climate we're in, just how well we've been able to respond. And we won't know the full picture till it all pans out, but I think we can at least prove, if anybody tries to interrogate the figures and stuff, that we've been proactive. So just really to thank us again, Gabby and Claire, for keeping going.
Thank you, Councillor Hart. I echo those comments. And also I think the hard work that everyone's put in over the last couple of years trying to get our budgets back on an even keel, I think means that we've actually gone into this with a good idea of where we're standing. I suspect there are councils up and down the district and the county and the country who have been caught rather unawares. So I think, yes, we've all got, we can all congratulate ourselves a little. Now, so in terms of the document that Gabby has sent round, I mean, as she said, it's very much an educated guess. Fallen income, I think our biggest risk presumably is whether or not Little Hands will ask for a rent holiday. Hopefully now that nurseries are opening up again, that may or may not be less of an issue. Councillor Clark?
I can sort of give you a small update on that. We were pushing them to give us their requirements, but we obviously needed numbers from them before we could look to possibly assist them. And with the RFO's input, I sent a couple of emails which were not generalised, they weren't public, but they were from the council's office, asking them to provide us with data, you know, what they've got, what grants, if any, etc., etc. I know for a fact they probably haven't got any grants, but they've not come back at all, other than just difficult to get hold of information. And they are now functioning. They are starting to put back. I think they had 12 children in last week. But Jane, the tenant, has not come back and asked us anything at all, and has not provided us with any data or any information that we could actually take to council to support any claim that they might have, which would make it very difficult for us to push something through council without them providing numbers. We can't just sort of, okay, you want that amount of money, why? There's nothing there at all. So at the moment, I'm not envisaging we're going to get anything from them in the short term. If something does crop up in the future, they'll have to back it up with some data, because we can't just put this to full council without any backup.
Okay, thanks. Thank you, Councillor Clark. Yeah, I would hope that if they didn't sort of jump up straight away after they got shut down, that hopefully that means that they've been able to ride it through. Obviously, so what's the situation then with match fees from the recreation ground? Because the biggest source of that is from the Dynamos, I think, isn't it? Who hadn't they moved to a kind of fixed annual rate? Are we giving them a pro rata discount / refund on that?
I hadn't had that discussion with them. They haven't asked for it. And they've chosen not to start playing again, whereas one of the other teams are training at the moment. Dynamos have chosen not to. So I don't know, actually. Maybe that's a conversation to have, but they haven't asked for any kind of refund. Perhaps they will when it comes to the next.
Mm, okay, but it's reasonable to assume that they could well ask for a discount based on the fact they've not been playing, they haven't been using the pitches.
Yeah.
So we've got a fall in income likely to be at least 3,400 probably. So watch this space, I guess. Now, in terms of the expenditure, the big one really is the MCCR cost, isn't it, going off to primarily for the time bank coordinator's extra salary, isn't it?
Correct.
And also funding some money towards community hub, should they need it. I mean, this document is very self-explanatory, as Gabby said. So thank you very much, Gabby, for putting this together. Do we need to make a decision tonight as to roughly how we're gonna deal with this, or is it just a largely for information to see how we're going?
Yes, I think I can see Councillor Hart wants to speak, but unless you want some work done or some actions taken, I don't think it's really a decision thing, is it? It's just to sort of note where we are and then keep an eye on it, really.
Okay, Councillor Hart.
I'm just a question, really. I'm just wondering, I'm aware that is it just giving pay to MCCR? It's just giving, isn't it? That obviously there's funding there. I'm just now trying to reflect on our terms of reference for the MCCR and whether any of that funding could be made available for things like the increased hours for the time bank coordinator. I've got a feeling it might not be able to. Right. I mean, I guess in the end, it's still going to come out in the hub provides a village resource, just like the playing fields. We keep going back to this, you know, a number of times. But I'm just mindful, is it going to be just shifting money around and we're still going to have to come up with money anyway? So it's just a note, it really, because I'm mindful that there will be members of the public that probably will be asking that question. How come there's this money here and yet the parish council is still funding mine's end? So I think we need to be in a position to respond to that. Just a comment, really. Okay.
And Councillor Clark?
With regard to the MCCR, Council approved the increase in her hours to cope with this. The £2,500 that the parish lent initially to give some funding so that the Hub's bank accounts weren't going to be dipped into too deeply, most of that will be coming back anyway to the parish, I believe. But they have received through Councillor Travis's sterling work some grant monies, and also the Just Giving, which I think is something in the region of £7,000. What they've been doing, the parish money is to one side, principally, but the Just Giving money is being used in conjunction with purchasing food, etc., for a food bank situation, because they have been dishing out quite a lot of food within the village. There's a number of people have been made redundant and various things are going on. So they are trying to actively support through this group, not only just prescriptions and getting shopping, but actually supporting the vulnerable in the village. And that's been done through the grant funding money. So you've got that, sorry, the grant money and the just giving money. So that's okay. Where we're at. But I think we're going to see some change to the process relatively soon, because we are seeing sort of a downward curve in phone calls and inquiries and requirements for support. Although it's still active and we are still taking on new participants, we are seeing it slowing down from the peak that we had. So that's going to be in discussion, and I think there will be something coming out post 6th of July to actually establish how it's going to go forward. So I think it might start to subside a little bit, and the hours will reduce a bit as well. And I think if anyone saw the announcement today, I think you've got 6th of July, the bubble starts with neighbours and six people. But I think the people that are actually self-isolating because of the problem, I think that's going to come to an end 30th of July.
Or 31st yeah, of July. So, yeah, I believe shielding, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the shielding thing. So I think you will be seeing something from MCCR relatively soon.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Clark. So, I mean, we're going to have a small-ish fall in income, a small-ish increase in expenditure, assuming nothing else jumps up and bites us. In terms of funding sources for it, I think that it's probably well within our capability of reducing contributions to reserves and dipping into reserves. Gabby, what are your feelings on potentially where how we ride that one out?
Yeah, I mean, I think that should be fine. It just depends how much money we're asked for, and the big unknown is the hub and what finances they might need as and potentially even as they start opening and see what the footfall's like and the impact on that. I think John or Councillor Travis is going to do some kind of report for the July meeting, I think, because they'll be putting their grant request in anyway. Yeah. I have more of a feeling for that, but it's just watch this space. So as long as it's not too bad, we can do it definitely within our reserves, I think. Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I mean, it's sort of out of our remit, really, because there's a management group for the hub. But at the beginning of the very beginning of lockdown, the government announced a whole raft of financial aid for small businesses. Do we know if any or all of those apply to the hub? Councillor Kilmurray.
Switching hats.
Yeah.
this committee and hub management. Yes, we have applied and been successful for basic grants that were allowed. So that will stand us in stead. We've furloughed our staff, so the staff salary outgoings are reduced significantly.
Does the do business rates reductions apply to the hub as well?
The hub doesn't have any rates.
Right.
We have an 80% discount for charitable business and 20% generous donation, if you will, by South Gams, who say they will zero that down.
Right. Okay. So there's no hub savings to be made from there.
No.
Okay. Because what I'm thinking of that Gabby alluded to is once the hub reopens, obviously you're going to need to employ some staff, and the furlough scheme will end. But obviously, mm-hmm. as footfall is down significantly, as I suspect, and I suspect you suspect it will be, then obviously the income of the hub is going to be greatly reduced. So presumably those sorts of figures and projections are going to be in Councillor Travis's report.
Indeed. We're meeting weekly at the moment to try and put a business plan together for reopening.
Right. Okay. Then I think in the meantime, unless anyone else has got any other comments to make, I think we sort of soldier on as we are. We've got a fairly healthy general reserve. We were up to about 5 months, I believe, at the beginning of the financial year. Although the beginning of the financial year crossed over the current crisis, and also the second point here that Gabby's identified about identifying budget savings for next year. I mean, obviously we do that every year, but I guess if we just kind of bear it in mind as we go into the discussions in sort of October, November for next year's precept, that we may or may not need to find some larger than usual budget savings to try to write things. Does anyone else have any comments to make? Councillor Hart.
just really, Gabby's last point about, you know, that we do have S106 monies either currently available or might be, and I think I'd like to think there will be flexibility and understanding within SCDC, though we're mindful that money has been passed down allegedly, how much of that will actually come the way of parish councils, we don't know, but that I think we're in a good place to say we've done everything we could, and we've continued to support our community and have, you know, evidence of that. So it may well be that that could well be another area that we could research more.
Yes, I think we would need to look very carefully at what we are and aren't allowed to do with that money in conjunction with the S106 officer at district, but potentially, given it's a community asset, some of those monies could go towards assisting the hub rather than just sort of bolstering things. Assistant Clerk.
Yeah, just to note as well that Councillor Travis is putting in a second grant application at the moment, so we don't know the outcome of it, but there is another grant application going in for some more funding for the MCC.
Fantastic. Councillor Kumari.
And that grant application, as per the first one, will include an element of salary for Kath.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Well, I don't think there's anything, Assistant Clerk, to vote on or decide on this matter, other than just a general sort of let's keep an eye on it and then bear it in mind as things progress. We've got plenty of reserve in the bank to ride it out for some time, I think. Lovely. Okay, well, thank you, everyone. FG009/20 to consider and review value for money in parish council spending. We don't have a specific document for this one. So
we put this on here because it was on our list of things to do this month.
Yeah.
And also it's one of the main points in the terms of reference. Then when we came to do it, we couldn't find anything from any prior years we could follow. And so we just thought, well, we'll put it on there and hope that someone else has done this before. Maybe that some of you can remember what you did. Otherwise, we'll need to kind of brainstorm what that means and how we might try and approach that, I think.
Councillor Hart.
As the longest serving member of parish council.
All of 3 years.
Even longer than that. I've been around even longer. But anyway, I can't remember how long, but it's been a long time. It feels like a long time. There's a couple of things that I felt surprised about. One's going to come up later, the safeguarding policy, but this has never ever come up. I feel chuffed it's come up now, and I'm thinking about, I have no idea how we do it other than thinking about, I often use that analogy of like jigsaw puzzle pieces, and we're gradually getting the jigsaw puzzle pieces together. We just don't quite know which puzzle we're going to make really by the end of it. But, you know, the fact that Councillor Travis has done policies on procurement really, and how we go to tender. So I'm guessing we've got some bits of the jigsaw, but I have no idea what the complete picture looks and just to say I don't feel surprised, unfortunately, that you couldn't find anything, but I'm feeling really glad that it's been raised now, because it's something that we can actually look at having. So yeah, that's just really a comment and suggestion of things that might be useful maybe.
Okay, thanks. Councillor Clark.
I think to some degree we probably are going down this road unknowingly in the way that we've started to do our business going forward. Like with the maintenance contracts went out, we got various companies to come in and tender for business, and various things have been appointed. But whenever we do any quotes for any work, you know, invariably we go for a minimum of two, try to get three. So there's a lot of things that have moved on in that general direction. So I think we're being a bit more thrifty with the way that we look at things, and we take stock of things before. We don't just pile straight in and take the first quote, etc. So I think there is a necessity to go down this road, but I think we're already starting to push ourselves down there naturally anyway, because of the way that we operate now. you know, we have got good governance in the sense of the way that we take things forward, especially with the big contractors that we have, and also when we ask people into their jobs. So I think we're sort of on a road, but I think it needs to be more documented.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of our big expenditure often goes back to full council for ratification. All of our big tenders, you know, we've been reviewing maintenance, the grass cutting and things like that. So I think most people have an opportunity to speak up if they feel that a particular expenditure is not getting good value for money. And so I think that we are, as you say, already doing this we've sort of step-walked into it almost by the other processes we've put in place. Now, we talked about the procurement policy that Councillor Travis had put together. Is that a fully fledged policy that's in the documents now, Councillor Hart?
I don't think it is, but I'm just wondering if we might like to invite our policy czar to pull together, perhaps. Are you thinking, Gabby, that we need a Melbourne Parish Council value for money policy or words?
Well, maybe. I don't know. It sounds to me like the task of this group is somehow to review or judge whether we're doing enough. So we'd have to have some kind of framework, and we might want to even define what value for money is. So is it purely monetary, or are we looking at quality of services, you know, how they're managed? You know, we've got main areas of expenditure. You could say things like salaries is our main one. So how are people managed, and, you know, in terms of, you know, where people are on pay scales, but they're also managed and stuff. So you could have that for an example. And then the other main areas of expenditure will be the grass cutting contracts and big maintenance areas, which I think are kind of quite well overseen anyway, because we follow kind of contract procedures and tendering procedures, quotes. So I think, you know, for the big areas, we should be quite reasonably covered, but I'm not sure if somehow we're meant to be writing this down, or this is an old committee thing from back in the day. I don't really know.
Councillor Clark.
I think actually, listen to that, Gabby, I think it probably would be sensible if we asked our, as Councillor Hart said, our policies are to write something appropriate. But I think because we do have quite a lot of expenditure we have historically had quite a lot of expenditure for the hub, and I think going forward we're likely to see a fair bit more expenditure for the hub until it gets completely back on its feet. It probably will be sensible to have something in writing that actually defines the way that we approach this, you know, because obviously the hub will need money to support it and various other bits and pieces. It's how you define what is good value for money. Is it a social thing? Is it a financial thing? Is it a quality thing? You know, there's all sorts of different aspects to this. And I think so that we don't get shot at when we start to put our hand in our pocket to support the hub, etc., if we've got a document there that actually specifies the way that we approach things, I think we can sort of basically put our stall out and say, this is how we do it. This is what we're going to do. And we move forward in that general direction. So I think it would make sense if we did have a document there for the RFO to refer to, Sister Clark to refer to, and also Parish Council to refer to when we do get asked the questions about spending money on large projects and various large initiatives. That's my view.
So do we want to write a policy, or do you want to have an annual review of expenditure over a certain threshold, or do you want to try and work that into the budget discussions in each October? Now, I believe Councillor Hart was first.
I personally think it would be good for us to have a policy, a value for money policy, or worse effect, because I think we can again, go back to the jigsaw, we've got those bits in terms of staffing. We've got appraisal systems and, you know, in place. We've got our progress through the pay scale. We've got things that can be linked into it. So we've got that area covered. As you say, we do the bit where things go out to tender. And I think it's more proactive to have it in a policy rather than reflecting on, yes, we spent this money wisely when it's already been spent. I know we do the, when we get the approvals list, that's an opportunity before we approve it to say, hold on a minute here, that looks a bit high or whatever. So I think the more proactive we can be, it aids that transparency, just like the one where we had the member of the public, this council meeting, challenging why we were going to spend as much as we were on the screens for the hub. So that wasn't the cheapest but the best type thing. It was what is going to be the best value for money, bearing in mind what it needed to meet the requirements. So I would suggest we have a proposal that we will ask, invite Councillor Travis to put together a draft value for money policy.
And I can see a hand up, but just to sort of follow up on that, I think the key thing here is we need to assess value for money. So it's not, are we spending the least possible money? And this kind of goes back to my thing of, it's our job to spend public money on public services. So it's not about not spending the money. It's about spending the money appropriately and getting good value for money. I think there have been a number of times when we've accepted the second cheapest quote because we felt that one gave better value than the cheapest one. Councillor Clark.
I think just last point for me. I think it would be sensible if the committees that actually are involved in money, i.e. maintenance, finance and good governance, and obviously I'd like to be there myself, but I think we need to have a brainstorming with the RFO and the Assistant Clerk, with Councillor Travis, just to sort of maybe a half an hour meeting, just to go through, lay down what we consider to be the key factors for this. So therefore he's got something to work on when he goes away to build a document. Because you can build a document in isolation, but I think if we put maintenance into it, we put finance and good governance, which is the budgetary side of it, the RFO and the Assistant Clerk, because obviously there's finances there, and then we just have a half an hour brainstorming with Councillor Travers and sort of give him a guideline as to what we come up with through that meeting. Obviously his contribution will be there as well because of maintenance. Mm. So I think it will be sensible for us. I don't know whether you agree with that, Gavin. I think it might just be worth spinning it around a little bit between a few people just to make sure that we've all...
It sounds a good idea, because I think if someone's just working in isolation, I'm not sure what we might come up with. And it also needs to be not too complex, I think.
It needs to be a general framework rather than a strict policy, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's a guiding document.
Yeah. Would it be sensible to have chair of the HR panel as well at that meeting, so that we can just discuss about putting in again general framework, sort of saying about how annual staff reviews will ensure that we're getting value for money from our high value assets. To speak of the staff in a very nasty HR kind of way.
Councillor Travis is the vice chair of HR, so we'll probably, I'm not sure that I could add any.
That would suffice. Okay. Councillor Kilmurry. Sorry, Councillor Hart, carry on.
This is a draft, and you know, again, it will come to full council for interrogation in the nicest possible sense. You know, it's acknowledging there's a gap in our documentation. This is a first draft, so everybody gets a chance to contribute then and ask more questions. Yeah.
Okay, lovely, thank you. And Councillor Kilmurry.
I'm just going to say, value for money is quite a nebulous thing. What one person thinks is good value and somebody else disagrees entirely.
Absolutely.
I think, as well as looking at what we are going to spend on, and we've got policies in place for most of that, we need, perhaps this group needs to look back on what has been spent, as I think you were suggesting, Councillor Cowley, that over a certain amount, and then we look at that and see whether we actually did get we did achieve what we wanted, or whether we had run over, or whether we could have spent it more smartly.
That's probably not such a bad suggestion for the initial setup, is kind of see where we've been to work out where we're going, kind of thing. Can I ask then Assistant Clark to set up a meeting with, as Councillor Clark has suggested, representatives from maintenance, this committee, Councillor Travis, who will also represent the HR panel, RFO and yourself, and maybe try and set it as a relatively short meeting to try and encourage us to get to something relatively quickly, and set that up, and then we can have a quick discussion, and we can work out with Councillor Travis what we'd like him to note down and write down a general framework. Last point from Councillor Clark.
Yeah, just Assistant Clark, could you include me in that one, because I'd like to be involved in that.
Thank you.
Okay, lovely. Moving on then, FG010/20, to consider a review of allotment rental fees. Did anyone want to start us off on this one, or is this just our is this our time of year for the annual review?
Yeah.
Does anybody have any feelings on what to do at the moment, Councillor Hart?
Do we get value for money out of the allotment? What are the allotment rental fees? How much are they?
They were reviewed about
2 years
ago, and they were all standardised at £25 a plot.
Per year.
The smaller plots on the small allotment garden are £20 each. I did note concern that because of the very dry weather and the fact that so many people are on furlough, that we may end up with a really high water bill, which is separate to the discussion about rental, apart from, you know, it does impact on the income that we get from the allotments if our water bill goes through the roof. We have really high demand for allotments at the moment as well. We've got a really long waiting list.
Would it be fair to say that in the current crisis, allotment holders are getting better value for money from their allotment rentals, because they're using them more, they've potentially got more time to look after them and grow things, and therefore we could justify, albeit a small increase, to help cover the water costs? And also, I mean, ultimately it's we need to try and balance supply and demand, don't we? And about our only way of doing that, short of evicting people, is to try and manage the fees. Councillor Clark?
They did have a period where they weren't able to go to the allotments, didn't they, because they were locked off, and a lot of the people that own or are renting the allotments are over the age of 70. So there's quite a lot of them that weren't able to actually go down to the allotment. So they've had a pretty mixed year, in the sense of they've not had a full year's worth of allotment. So we might be being a bit cheeky, but, you know, would it really be worth putting it up a fiver? You know, I'm not really sure this year. Maybe we could look at that next year. But I don't know what the RFO thinks on that. But as a lot of them were lying dormant for quite a while because the people couldn't go down there, should we be penalising them for that? Because they've not had a full year's worth of allotment. It's just a view.
Councillor Hart?
Can I just ask again, apologies for ignorance, how many plots do we have?
We've got in total 99.
Yeah. Just thinking that, you know, it may well be, again, you know, looking forward, that once we see how much the water bill, if it has gone up significantly, yes, we might not do anything this year, but we could at least perhaps raise awareness of allotted allotment plots, that, you know, we will be looking to recoup that perhaps in the next financial year by, I don't know, however much we see. So how long did you say it's been the same amount, Claire?
We reviewed it 2 years ago.
And did it go up?
Yes, it did, yeah. Yeah, there were different prices and it went up by between £3 and £5, I think.
Right, which that's quite a significant percentage increase then, isn't it? Yeah, because £2.50 is 10%. So we need to be wary, although £5 a year doesn't sound very much and it's a nice round number. If we put things up from £25 to £30, that's a 20% increase. If you think about inflation, you know, £1 a year would be 4%. So we might want to look at sort of reviewing on a £1 or £2 a year basis, just to help cover some of those fees. Could that be a couple of £100 of water that we'd get back? I lost track of which order, but Councillor Kilmurry, because you're on the left of my screen.
I was actually going to say pretty much what you just said. It might be worth putting it up by £1 to recoup some of the water bill. If it's not gone up in 2 years, you know, £1 is 5% over 2 years. It's not too bad.
Councillor Clark?
Councillor Kilmurry, I think £1 or something like that. Or You've got the opportunity to leave it, wait until we get the water bill in, and then that gives us justification to put it up the following year. Or just do £1 now. Because if it comes in that the water bill is a lot higher and we need £3, then we can't really go back again, can we? Not if we just put it up for £1 now. So it might be prudent to wait till we get the water bill, see what we're looking at, what we're trying to deal with there, and then make a decision on how much we go for.
Okay, and Councillor Hart.
Ask just a couple of things. So how long a waiting list? How many people did you say we have on the waiting list, Claire?
We've got about 13 people on the waiting list at the moment, which is 12 or 13, but that's about the longest it's been since I've been here.
Yeah, and just want to say a precedent has been set in the village for increasing fees more than what you might envisage. Coffee stop at the church, that went up from 80p a session to £1 in one go.
25%, goodness.
Just saying.
Can I just make the point as well, Chair, that the allotment year is from the beginning of October. So an increase needs to really
be decided quite soon.
Or carried over, yeah.
Sorry, and the water bill tends to come in after November, so it doesn't work well for us from that, because we'll have to wait summer to see what happens when they use the most water, and that tends to happen in about November, December time.
Okay. Councillor Clark.
Sorry, Madam Assistant Clark, would it be prudent then to send the allotment holders a letter to say that there's no envisaged increase in rental charges this year at the moment, subject to receiving the water bill, and then there may be a retrospective? Or do you think that's just not worth doing?
From a practical point of view, that will be quite difficult, because all of our invoices will have gone out.
Okay.
So then we'll have to re-invoice for a relatively small amount. So
No, forget that. Sorry, Assistant Clark. Sorry, I was just thinking it might be worth just trying to wait and do it afterwards.
Councillor Kilmurry?
I would suggest that we look at putting it up by a nominal amount this year. That, you know, the longer you leave it, the bigger percentage you have to get to claw back to where you were. It's better to put it up by small amounts each year, or every 2 years perhaps. And then if water usage really is high, I mean, it was very hot last summer as well. So if water use is particularly high and we need to try and cover that, then we can look at that next year.
Thank you. And Councillor Hart?
Just a thought. I'm just wondering if this is an annual problem, that the invoices go out, we invoice for allotments in October and the water bill doesn't come into November, we could do something really radical and say to the allotment holders, we won't be billing you in October, we'll carry it forward to January when we know how much the water bill is. If this is potentially an annual issue, we could change it, couldn't we?
We could.
Would we be asking allotment holders to renew on the basis that they're not sure what their rental is going to be? Or just change the renewal?
Say we won't be doing renewals, we'll effectively give you a couple of months. We just change our billing cycle. That's all I'm thinking, because if this has always been the case and could potentially be an issue, because we're never going to quite know how much the water bill might be, I'm just thinking about sometimes, you know, why are we doing it this way? And if the answer is, well, that's how we've always done it, and we're mindful that we don't know how much water's been used in November. As Councillor Kilmurry said, we're always going to be behind the curve, really, if we need to play catch up. We're going to be 1 year out of date. And maybe it could be, I mean, that things might even, I can't imagine that it'll go down, but at least it might be we wouldn't be guessing and we wouldn't be playing catch up. It's just a thought, really.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the thing about that is that you're effectively setting next year's fees based on last year's weather. We're not going to sort of say, oh, water usage was really low this year, so we're going to drop the fees for next year. So I wonder if actually just leaving the situation where it is and just saying, well, actually, we just sort of, we just absorb the fluctuations in water usage by setting an allotment fee, which some years we do a little bit better, some years we do a little bit worse. Councillor Kilmurry?
I'm going to say something similar, but we don't have this November's bill until November, but we got 12 months. We can look at the last 12 months now. I assume the water bill comes in every 6 months. Is that right? I know it does for households.
Yeah, we do. I don't have those in front of me at the moment.
No, that's fine.
The last water bill we had in, which covers the winter period, was actually really high. And I looked at it and thought, what's going on here? But at the moment, it's because they're all estimated. No one's going out to read meters. So we're not going to know until someone goes out what that's going to be. But what I was going to say is, so our budget for water this year is about £580, which we've included in there. The highest bill we had was in 2018-19, when it was a really hot summer, and that was £700. So it's not much. It's not going to be hugely, you know, the big things on the allotments are things like the asbestos removal and the plot clearances. So the water itself, whilst it's quite frustrating, obviously, of a lot of water's used, people are leaving taps on all day and things, it's in the big scheme of things, perhaps is not going to make as much difference as you think.
Okay. Right. I'm sensing a sort of feeling that we should put up fees by a nominal amount. So what I am going to do is I'm going to do a proposal to put it up by £2, which represents an 8% increase over the last 2 years. If that fails, then we'll try £1. And if that fails, then we'll leave the fees where they are. Does that seem like a reasonable approach? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So the proposal is to increase allotment fees from £25 to £27, which represents an 8% increase over 2 years. Do I have a proposer for that? That's Councillor Hart proposing and Councillor Kilmurry seconding. And can I have a vote in favour of that motion then, please?
Thank you.
And that's unanimous. Thank you very much. That's carried.
Chair?
Yes.
Because we have an allotment garden where the rents are different, they are £20 because they're smaller plots.
Oh, yes, of course.
By the 8% to that.
That would give us £21.60, wouldn't it? So,
I suggest £1.50.
Yeah. Yeah, should we proposal is to increase the allotment garden fees by £1.50, representing a 7.5% increase over 2 years. Can I have a proposer for that? That's Councillor Kilmurray and Councillor Clark seconding. All those in favour? That is unanimous and carried. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that one out, Assistant Clerk.
Thank you.
Lovely. Right. FG011/20 to consider a review of the pavilion hire charges and match fees. Now, this one, I suggest as a starter, we just leave them where they are for now because of the much larger disruption that both of those have had, unless anybody wants to say anything.
I think that's right. Just leave them where they are at the moment. There's nothing going on, is there?
Yeah, because obviously pavilion hire was going a bit sort of wonky beforehand. The only thing would be whether or not we want to reduce the pavilion hire charge to try and encourage more people to use it. Councillor Kilmurray?
When was the last price change for the pavilion?
2018 it was last reviewed.
2 years ago.
Yeah. 2 years.
Yeah.
But we're not getting outside of the football. There's not an awful lot of hires, are there?
No, although there is a discussion at the moment, but it's in very early stages. So there's the possibility of a block booking.
Okay.
But it's really early stages.
What sort of take do we get from the pavilion? What sort of income? Is it significant?
No.
Again, I think that the amount that we get, the number of hires that we get, we're not going to raise a significant amount of income by increasing the fees.
Our budget is £750. I think last year we got about £800, but we did have Pilates class as a regular booking, which we don't have anymore. So, and obviously we haven't rented it out at all this year, I don't think, have we, because of the lockdown. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's probably not worth putting it up anyway. We're not getting much, and if we put prices up, we might put people off and get even less.
Indeed. Now, I will get to you, Councillor Hart. I can see your hand up. Unlike the allotments where it's a regular thing, yeah, so we're sort of justified in doing an inflation pay rise every year because it's an ongoing thing and we've got a waiting list. I think it's something where very, very few people are using at the moment. Putting the prices up will discourage bookings and is not going to raise any significant income. Councillor Hart, you want to say something?
Yes, I'm just mindful that there's also, I think we've discussed about using some monies potentially to give it a bit of a revamp to the pavilion. And I think once we've done that, we've got more, more reason to be able to suggest that there's an increase because we've invested some money in it. So I think, just leaving it as it is at the moment would be a good idea.
And Councillor Clark.
Going back to Madam Assistant Clark said, if there is potential for a block booking, I know it's in preliminary stages, would it muddy the waters if we started changing around or changing the fees at the moment? Because presumably if there is something going on, it's being negotiated at a price at the moment, isn't it?
It hasn't got to that stage yet, but
probably we don't want to muddy the waters while there's potentially something going on. So I think I'm believing it where it is at the moment as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I shall put forward a proposal that we have reviewed the pavilion hire charges and match fees and we'll leave them as they are unchanged for 12 months. Can I have a proposal for that, please? That's Councillor Barnes and seconded by Councillor Hart. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Carried. Yeah. Thank you. Right, FG012/20, policy reviews to consider and review policies. So these have been sent around. First one, item A, is to review the gift and hospitality policy. This was last reviewed. So Assistant Clerk, the review date that's written in the top right-hand corner of a document, is that the last time it was reviewed or when it is next to be reviewed? Because this is the question we always have with our documents at work, is that different people use different things.
Oh, I'm sorry, that needs to be changed. The review date is when it's due for its next review.
Right. So it's due now. So it was last reviewed then in January 2018, presumably. I had looked through this. I don't think anything has really changed. Councillor Clark?
The only thing I would say with this, because I've tripped over this before in business, I would just say you are required to register any gifts. Don't put a value to them, because sometimes it's difficult to identify whether it's £51, £52, £48. Sometimes you won't know the price of something. I think, to be quite honest, you know, the likelihood of us having a load of parishioners coming in donating bottles of wine and all sorts of things to us is not going to happen. I think just take out the value and just say any gifts are identified. Just so you take the monetary value out of the equation.
Yeah. Okay. In terms of hospitality, would that mean all sorts of, not spurious, but sort of rather trifling declarations of, actually, to be honest, we're never really subject to hospitality, are we? Councillor Kumari?
Well, if you're talking about gifts, I mean, what do you count as somebody buying a pint at the bar a gift?
If, according to policy section 1.1, it is in connection with your official duties.
I talk all sorts of rubbish at the bar. Sometimes council rubbish.
No, I think to be quite... I'm sorry.
Councillor Clark, go ahead.
Sorry, I think something like that, I think is not taken as a gift under general hospitality terms.
I would agree, but if you put a policy in place that has a zero limit, that somebody's going to pick up on it and make a fuss. Maybe we could change it to a tenner or something.
Yeah, maybe something nominal.
Yeah, Councillor Hart?
I just think we perhaps need to make sure, and it might be part of councillor induction or councillor training, that we are only on official council duties when we're either at meetings, like we are now. Now, when I'm walking my dog, if somebody gives my dog a treat, I'm not on council duties then. I'm a member of the public going about my business. And I think that's the line that protects us, and that is in connection with your official duties as a member. And when we're the only time we are on duty officially, in my opinion, is when we are in a council meeting or we've been invited to something as a representative of the parish council. So I would feel happy for it, as Councillor Clark says, just to say you're required to register any gifts of hospitality. If somebody gives you a bottle of wine, how do you know if it's a vintage bottle of wine or if it's a £4.99 bottle of whatever? So yeah. I think we just need to be very firm about we are only on official duty when we are on official duty. Otherwise, we're a member of the public going about our business.
What would happen? Sorry, I'll get to you in a moment, Councillor Barnes. Just to follow up on that. What about if you're, say, down the pub, and someone sort of comes up and says, "Oh, Councillor Hart, you do such amazing work with the parish council. Let me buy you a pint."
I would say no, thank you. I'm not here in my role as an official, as a member of the parish council. And I think, you know, that has led to previous parish councillors resigning from the parish council because members of the public did not respect the fact that when they were going about their business, they, you know, going to the pub, I've come to the pub to be, I'm not here on duty, so don't ask me. And I think we just need to have a script ready where when people say that to us, where I'm here now as me, I'm not. I think the likelihood of that happening is also incredibly unlikely.
Councillor Barnes, you wanted to say something?
I was kind of going to say what you said pretty much, was that it's to do with people approaching you and talking to you about issues that might be council issues. I mean, it's all very sort of theoretical, really. But just what you were saying about that. But as Salian was saying, if we have a policy or a kind of code of conduct about how to deal with members of the public when we're not on duty, then that would be helpful, I think. Or not a policy, but something that's clear that we're not open for discussion and stuff on council business in a kind of casual way. Because then you are open to people kind of, it's not bribery exactly, but that kind of thing. The whole gift giving thing.
I mean, certainly £50 is what we use at work, although actually it recently got increased to £100 at work. And I work in a hospital, where we've got a lot of patients around, who I suppose the sort of patient-staff relationship can be seen in some ways as similar to a sort of public counsellor sort of relationship. I would be loath to set it to zero because I think it would raise too many uncertainties in a way. I would certainly support it going down if committee thought that it was appropriate to drop it from 50, or whether or not we wanted to sort of say, you are required to do anything over 50 but are encouraged to do anything over 10, which then sort of brings in an implication that if you're not sure of the value but you think it, say, falls in the bracket between 10 and 50, you could make effort to find out whether or not it breaches the 50 kind of thing. Councillor Clark.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you on that. I think as Councillor Pomeroy said, we do bump into people and people say to you, oh, I've got you a drink or something like that. And it does happen. And you sort of stuck with it. As long as you're not talking about council business and you keep it completely social, I think there might be a need to maybe add something to this just to give us a little bit of how we operate. Because, if you don't want to talk about business, that's fine. Someone buys you a drink or you buy them a drink and whatever. You might be friends with them locally. All that sort of thing goes on. It does happen. And, you can't start being rude about things because then, it's not right. But I think you're probably right. Go down to 10 or 20 pounds or something like that to avoid that embarrassment, maybe. Because it does happen. People will buy you a drink. And, things do happen. But as long as you're not talking about council business, so maybe you need to have something in here that just says council business is for council meetings. If you're outside, you don't discuss council affairs or council. It's a difficult one. I suppose, because people might want to ask you about a tree that's fallen over and that's overhanging their fence and all this sort of thing. But where do you draw the line? I think maybe I've made a mistake by saying we should drop it to zero. Sorry. I didn't really think it through. I just knew we had problems when I was in the city with bits and pieces going on with things like that.
Yeah.
And we just knocked it to zero and that was it.
Assistant Clerk, you wanted to raise a point.
Well, I was just going to say that actually, Section 5 does make specific mention of just accepting a drink, e.g. inclusion in a round of drinks after a meeting. It deals with precisely that point. It doesn't have value on it, but it...
Yeah, no, that's a good point, yeah.
Yes, inclusion in a round of drinks after a meeting, that's an EG, and so inclusion in a round of drinks because you're down at the because you happen to be down at the pub and someone recognises you from the Melbourne magazine.
yeah.
Okay, yeah, thank you for that. And then Councillor Barnes.
I think there's going to be an element of common sense of just knowing when something feels not right and you can't legislate for everything and everybody's going to judge a social situation individually, I think. Yeah. But most people are going to have common sense and know when something there's a kind of an undertone rather than it just being like friendly and normal, or whether it's somebody's kind of bringing up an issue. I think all of us probably would say, I'd rather not discuss that anyway, because don't you? You can tell by somebody's manner. There is an element of common sense involved in that, in judging that situation.
So what's the general feeling? Do we want to drop it from 50 to some other value? We could halve it, for example, go to 25. Councillor Comari.
As I said before, I think if you just call it a tenner, £10, and then it doesn't really matter if it's 11 or 12. The value is negligible. And so if you aim at a tenner, and if there is some small doubt which puts it slightly over, it doesn't matter.
Just wondering whether or not that would come into conflict with section 4.2, saying common gifts include pens, diaries, calendars, and other business stationery. You know, you could easily argue that that would come to more than a tenner. Is that not then included in section 5.1, acceptable gifts, small low value gifts below £50, such as pens, calendars, diaries, flowers, and other mementos and tokens. If you dropped it to a tenner, you might start then falling foul of those sorts of things. I know at work that all of our reps that come around, because they operate in America, where now you're not allowed to do anything, they have to be really careful not to accidentally leave pens behind, because they're just not allowed to give us anything at all anymore. And you know, they used to turn up with boxes of donuts. It was brilliant. And then it's like, no, sorry. And I have to take my pen back because I can't be seen to be leaving a pen with you and things like that. So I think you've got to have something that's high enough to do that.
Maybe £25.
Yeah. How do people feel about 25?
Yeah.
General sort of nodding. Yeah. Should we do a proposal then and move on?
Yep.
The proposal is to alter sections 1.1 and anything else which is related, which I think is section 5.1, to amend the value of £50 to £25. Do we need to vote on that, Assistant Clerk?
Not on that, I don't think, but on adopting adopting the policy. Yep.
So proposal to accept slightly amended gifts and hospitality policy as discussed. Proposer, please.
Can I just ask a question?
Oh, yes, Kazart.
I noticed I switched off for a minute there. Is this something that then goes to full council for approval?
I think we're reviewing the policy. So
all the policies have to... So they all go to full council for noting, at least.
Yeah, I believe they're noted, but it's a governance policy, so I believe that we're responsible for reviewing, and
yeah.
We represent half of the council.
I'm just thinking: do our terms of reference give us the power to review and change a policy without running it past full council? I didn't think it did. I thought we as a review it with a view to proposing it to full council. That was my belief. Mm. I might be totally wrong.
Sorry.
Councillor Clark.
I think you're right, actually. Because we had a purge on policies, didn't we? And we were bringing them back to full council for ratification.
I'm just thinking from HR's point of view. I know we're not a committee, we're a panel, but when we've got these schedule of policy reviews, it then gets allotted to the different committees or panels.
Yeah. The terms of reference allow for review according to the schedule, those policies and procedures delegated to the committee by the full council. And this is one of the policies that's on the policy review schedule for this committee.
Okay.
So the terms of reference do allow us. And so I think just to save full council a little bit of time and effort, I think we'll proceed with reviewing and adopting it. So the proposal is to accept the amended policy, gifts and hospitality policy, with amendments to, as discussed, to £25. Can I have a proposer for that, please? It's Councillor Barnes and seconded by Councillor Kilmurray. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. FG012/20B, reviewing the Child and Vulnerable Adult Protection Policy. Again, I don't think very much has changed on this one. It does have a review date of July 2021, Assistant Clerk.
This has just been quite thoroughly reviewed by Councillor Travis and Councillor Hart. So the dates have been updated.
Oh, to reflect the next time it would be.
Changes to it at the time.
Right, I see. I mean, I read through it and I think that it's... it covers everything we need to, given our limited contact with children and adults at risk. Does anyone else have any comments? No? Okay. Oops, sorry. Councillor Hart?
I just need to note that it will involve some professional development for this assistant clerk in terms of safeguarding training. And I believe that is available through CAPALC, so just be aware of that, really.
Yeah.
Okay. It states in section 4.1 that Claire is nominated as a safeguarding officer, who then delegate to the chair of the HR panel, council chair or vice chair to be contacted. So it doesn't mention that the clerk will be having safeguard, is anywhere on the safeguarding.
Not because this is one of those documents that, again, I thought we had one, but we didn't, and it came to our attention. And I think because of the present situation with the clerk not being available either, and we need to be able to act on it ASAP, really. It's one of those things that, you know, it's everybody's business as such, safeguarding, but we need to, one of the things that Councillor Travis needed for the bids putting in was a revised safeguarding policy, which we didn't have. And I think it would have felt a bit negligent if we'd nominated the clerk when we know at the moment the clerk is not available. We asked Claire, if she would feel happy to fulfil that role. So that's where we are, really.
Okay. My only other comment would be whether or not a 12-month review is necessary, or given that the content of safeguarding doesn't tend to change, whether or not a 2-year review would be more appropriate.
Safeguarding, in my experience, changes more regularly than that. Keeping children safe in education has been revised, goodness knows how many times, in the last few years, and this document needs to build on that, really. So I think it is something that needs to be, it's one of those things, it's the whys before the event stuff. So let's have it there, let's have it
okay.
So that we can reflect things. It's not an arduous task, it just needs to make sure we're giving it that level of priority.
Okay. Right. Can I have a proposer then to accept the Safeguarding Children and Adults at Risk policy as presented in the agenda pack? That's Councillor Clark. I will second that one. I haven't done anything yet today. All those in favour? That's unanimous. Thank you. The expenses policy. So this one has been updated quite a bit again, hasn't it, I think? Or am I remembering an old version?
Yeah.
Was that a yes from somebody? Sorry.
It's pretty much been rewritten.
I mean, it covers pretty much everything that we do. I think our expenses are relatively minimal. Does anyone have any comments to make on the document as presented? Councillor Hart?
I just think we might ask Councillor Travis to put it through the template that we use, so it has a document. Oh, yeah, done it. Yes.
Sorry. Yes. I updated the website documents, but yes. Sorry, that was a bit of a late one.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments on that one? No. Can I have a proposal then, please, to accept the councillors and staff expenses policy version 404 version 2, Councillor Kilmurray, and seconder Councillor Clark. All those in favour? And that's unanimous. Thank you. And the last one, FG012-20, item D, consider a draft policy and procedure for the verification of bank reconciliations. Now, this one, I think, was the one that was suggested and recommended by Councillor Travis over email during our sort of downtime. And who wrote the document? Was it RFO or was it Councillor Travis?
I know it was me, but he has seen it and commented on it. So this right. is the Councillor Travis approved version, which he's also put in the correct MPC format. What I did notice actually from the minutes was that this was apparently meant to just go straight back to the parish council rather than come back to us. But seeing as we're here, we may as well see if there's glaring obvious things in it. But I think we said last time it could just go to the...
Yes, I think so. And I think if Councillor Travis and yourself are happy with it, Councillor Travis making the suggestions, and obviously you in your position, then I can't see anything unusual in there. I had a quick look through earlier today. Councillor Kilmurray?
It seems eminently reasonable. Councillor Travis is the one at the moment, the councillor at the moment, who does reconcile the bank statements. So between him and the RFO, that is the maximum amount of knowledge that has gone into the document to show what they are currently doing.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to add very much more. Oh, hello, Councillor Clark. okay, right. So. I think we'll just note that then, and Gabby, RFO.
I think I saw in there somewhere that the person who's nominated should only do it for 6 months.
Okay, I thought we agreed to do it for a longer period than that.
And I don't know whether Councillor Travis put that in because he felt that that's what he'd like to have done. He's probably done it for about 2 years. But I feel that a year is probably going to be more realistic, because I think you'd want to appoint them for a calendar, you know, a year, wouldn't you?
Yes, I think so.
I'm now struggling to find that bit, but I...
Absolutely.
It's under the responsibilities about the middle of the paragraph.
Yeah.
A normal period of such service is 6 months, or this time period can be flexible at the discretion of the RFO. Ah, so it looks like you can just arbitrarily extend it, Gabby.
Right. All right.
It may be better to put that in as 12 months.
Councillor Travis has changed that to say that, so presumably he's got a reason for doing that. I might just ask him what that is. But
right, okay.
It's a bit odd.
Okay, shall we note the document then and leave it to you to chase up with Councillor Travis about whether or not between the pair of you feel that should be 6 or 12 months, and then bring said amended document back to full council as was previously agreed for review and ratification by full council. Yep. Lovely. Okay. Which brings us to the end of the meeting. FG013/20 to note the date of the next meeting, which is currently set for the 21st of September 2020. So I'd like to thank councillors for attending and call the meeting to a close. Hang on. There you go.